Father, we just come before you and we ask you that you would open your word to our hearts and also these things that would help us to be better communicators of your truth and also why we should communicate. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, approaching adults. Approaching adults. And in approaching adults, make sure you're neat, conservative in your dress, no boogs in your nose, and no eye boogies. Use your gesture sparingly. Make sure you smell good. It's a good friend that can tell you, you know, you're smelling bad. And that really is. It is a good friend that would say to you, you know, I think you ought to do this. I think you ought to change this up, you know. It would be good to check everything, check that everything is buttoned and zippered and everything. Those things are important. I know. And so make sure you have godly actions, do all in the name of the Lord. We're on number two, starting with a good opening sentence. How do you start? You know, and I love the idea of witnessing to people, and we talked about the particular jokes that we can look at or that we can talk about and give to them, but also finding out some commonalities about something, about people, looking at something and finding out as much as you can. Hey, look me over, you know, and this is what we want to do. We want to look somebody over. We want to find out as much as we can. We were at a mall one time, and in a mall situation, let me just say, in a mall situation, we had a secretary that worked with us, and she's just a delightful Christian, just lovely to be with Christina. And some of you know Christina Amos, used to be Heron Gozo, and just a delightful, by the way, she's going to have a baby.
Is she really?
Yes.
She didn't tell me.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yep, she's going to have one. And that's some doing for Christina. That's, I mean, yeah. That is. It really is. So anyway, you know, praise God for that. And she would get kicked out of the mall all the time. In fact, that was, I never wanted to go near her when she was witnessing in the thing, because she got kicked out of the mall. And so she would come up, she was too aggressive. And I think giving a track to the security guard wasn't helpful. You know, probably wasn't a helpful thing. So, you know, like we came back and then I woofed our dinner down, my dinner. And, but I told the guys, I said, listen, when we go there, don't be so, like, you know, be stealth, a little more stealth. Don't have your tracks in your hand walking around looking hungry. give them out, you know, especially on private property. They can boot you and legally do it. So what you want to do is you want to be very careful. So if you're talking to somebody, you can find out, you know, hey, you bought all this stuff. Are you kidding me? That thing is enough. You know, and this kind of thing. We were in the mall one time and I saw this guy and he had a varsity jacket on, but he was an elderly gentleman. And I think he had his two sons with him. I have no idea. All I know is this. He had his name right here. But he forgot that his name was here. So I come up to him and I said, hey, Frank, how you doing? Hey, how's it going with you? I said, hey, it's going good. He goes, hey, and what do you think of these guys, huh? Remember, huh? Look at this. I'm going, yeah, okay. I have no idea who this guy is. I've never seen these three men before in my life, you know. And I know there's a point where you can't say, I don't know you. You just can't say that. So I go, okay, well, yeah, they are big. They are big. And okay, well, now, hey, take this. Hey, guy, boom, 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 boom. And see you later. You know? And so what you want to do is you want to be careful. All right. So you want to start with a good opening sentence. Sometimes when you have a good opening sentence, it's really helpful. So I want to find out as much as I can. Let's say I was looking at you and I'd say, hey, how you doing? Hey, you like computers? And this is a sound thing, isn't it? Is that a computer or is that just work? That's a sound thing. That's a sound thing. Hey, nice shirt, by the way. What is, you misspelled bucket, you know? And then I mean, when I would do this, when I'm doing is I'm bridging. I'm bridging, but I'm finding out as much as I can. Let them talk about themselves, you know. Find out as much as you can. Look them over. I talk to the burliest looking dudes going. I mean, like Hell's Angel type looking. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, how's it going? I'm going to kill you, punch you, you know. And then I'll go up to him. I got to tell you something, Hawk, in a second. And this guy's got like all over the place, inside, outside, all, you know, tattoos all over the place. Yeah, how's it going there? That's the lady. So, no, like, I'm only kidding. So I go to the guy, I go, man, look at that. I said, that has got to hurt. That had to hurt. Yeah, not bad. Wasn't bad. It was bad over here, man, but it wasn't bad. And this guy, you know, hey, it's going to kill you. But he's, you know, he starts talking about, yeah, it's real sensitive here, but I'll tell you what, wasn't bad here, you know. And I'm, you know, so now I'm talking with him, bridging with him. We're becoming friends, kind of. And so, you know, I'm finding everything as much as possible. I have to tell you something. This is, I'll do this frequently. And I like wearing hats. I'll be wearing a hat or something like that. And I've got my hat on and I'm going like this. And I see some bald guy. And generally, he's shaving his head, right? Generally, they're shaving their head, right? So I go up to him. I say, hey, nice haircut. And I'll say, I really like it. Like this. And the guy goes, yeah, man. Boom, boom, fist pump. I've had that so many times, it's unbelievable. Isn't that right? I mean, I've had it so many times. I've come up to people, I say, nice haircut, man. I really pick it. And the guy does a double take. I mean, yeah, that's right. I said, you Bic or Norelco? I Bic it. You know, I go, well, cool. And so we just did it in Sam's Club. I just talked to this guy, and his kids are there. And then what I do, I said, I like it. It looks good on you. I mean, it doesn't look ugly. I'm not going to say, really, you know, just grow something there, will you? So I go to the guy, and I say, these are your kids. Yeah, these are my twins. That's my niece, you know, and hi, kids, and all this kind of stuff. Hey, I just want to tell you something. I'd like to give this to you as you go home. Put it in your pocket. That's what I love about the size of these. Put them in your pocket, and when you go home, read it. Okie doke? All right, thanks. Okay, nice talking with you. See you later. This is on the stealth mode. We did an open air. We give this as an invitation. If you've trusted Christ right now as your personal Savior and prayed with us, why don't you come forward and take this out of my hand? And by doing that, you're saying, Chris, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I asked Jesus Christ just now to be my own personal Savior. Anybody? And we did this. I was doing a particular meeting in Times Square, and a girl and her significant other came up, a guy, came up and took a booklet each, right? So after the meeting, I went up to him, and I said, What did you think? And the guy was like smarty pants, you know. Yeah, well, of course we know this is religious, and all, you know. I'm going, oh man. So I'm talking as I started focusing on the girl, and I said, "What'd you think of that?" She goes, "I really liked it." And I said, "Can I see that thing?" Because you never assume because they come forward in an open air meeting that they're safe. Never assume that. You know, a lot of reasons why people come forward. They might have gotten saved, they might not have gotten saved. They want a booklet, there's a whole bunch of reasons, right? So I said, can I just look at this? I said, may I ask you a question? And she goes, sure. I said, has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? And all I did was read it. I've taken apologetic course, I've taken cults course, I've taken current trends in theology course. I've got all this kind of stuff, and I went to Moody Bible Institute, 3 years of it, and I'm just going, all I did was read it. All I did was read it. I didn't ad lib it. I didn't do anything else. I just said, and you throw more than I, and the bad news gets worse. Have you ever read this passage, this tract, this gospel tract? Okay, fantastic. And then it goes on, good news number one, good news number two, and then it comes down to here, And I said, I'm reading it. I love about this edition of this particular piece of literature is that I have this question: does this make sense to you? And I got to that question. I said, does this make sense to you? And she goes, with the most sincere face you can possibly muster, she goes, it does. Sure does. I'm like back flipping inside, but cool as a cucumber on the outside. Is there anything keeping you from trusting Christ right now? She goes, no. I said, think carefully. I just continued to read it. Think carefully. There's nothing more important than your need to trust Christ. Would you like to tell God you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you would, why not pray right now and tell God you're trusting His Son? Remember, it is not prayer that saves you. And I'm reading, this is Times Square. Do you understand this? Thousands of people all around us, and we're like in the cone of silence. And we're having this conversation. And I'm reading this to her, and I read through the prayer. I said, would you like to pray that? She goes, yes. So I just waited, and she did. Right? I said, did you pray that prayer? Did you mean it? She goes, yeah, I sure did. I said, okay, what has happened? What just happened? That's what I love about this track. What just happened? John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Did you hear God's word? She goes, yeah. I said, did you believe what God said and trust Christ as your Savior? She goes, yes. I mean, it's just like dripping with sincerity. I said, has everlasting life mean later or right now? She goes, right now. Yes. Okay, does it say shall not come into judgment or might not come? Shall not come. And it's dawning on her. It's like opening up. She can see that she's passed from death unto life, right? And it says, does it say, has passed from death or shall pass? She goes, has passed. I go, yeah. So that means you've immediately, when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have eternal life right now. You pass from death unto, and you will never be condemned for your sin. You will never spend a second in hell. She looked really relieved. And then I said, okay, what do you do now? And we talked about reading the Bible, telling God what's on your mind through prayer, worship with God's people, tell others, and if you found this booklet helpful, share it with somebody else. She goes, okay, thank you. Appreciate that. I said, and then I had to go. I had to go and find another spot for our open-air teams in Times Square. So I'm walking down the street. I'm jostled. This is like a carnival on the most populated day. That's Times Square. And I'm going like this. I'm jostling. And this guy comes up to me. He's got this big box. And he comes up to me, and he's selling candy, this black kid. He goes, would you like to buy some candy? I said, no, I'm watching my girlish figure. And he goes, oh. I said, but may I ask you a question? And so if you have to understand New Yorkers, I go, has anyone ever taken a Bible? I think I talked fairly quickly. Has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? There, the Bible contains bad news and good news. And I'm reading this, right? Well, apparently, I wasn't reading it fast enough. And he's standing there like this. He puts his box down. And he's like going like this. So finally, I'm going, bad news, number one. He takes it right out of my hand. And he starts reading it to me. And he's reading it faster. He's going, and bad news, and it's like he's witnessing to me. He's going, and he's showing me this thing. And he's going like this. This guy's like flying, you know. He's going, and bad news, number two, the penalty for sin is death. And he's just going, and I'm okay. Just give it to me, man. And so I'm doing it. And so I see where he's going. I see where he's going with this. And he's going down and he says, but you may say I'm religious. I go to church. I don't steal. I'm a good person. I help the poor, etc. And then it says, these are all good, but good living. And he's like rocket lips with this. But I see this little question. And that's when I'm going to interrupt. I see him come down. So when he finishes this, I say, your name again? And that's the great interrupter. You know, your name again, and they got to tell you. Then you go in to them. You start talking. And that's a great interrupter. If a guy's like a motor mouth or a gal's like, just you can't get a word in edgewise, you say, your name again?
Frank.
And then you become the motor mouth. And you start talking. So I see this coming up. I said, excuse me, does your name again? He gives me, I said, does this make sense to you? And like the girl, he goes, it sure does. So I can, you know, I took the booklet out of his hand. Is there anything keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ right now? And he goes, no. I'm going, yes. Okay, then I read through the whole thing. He trusted Christ as his personal Savior. I like it. This is the best piece of literature I've ever seen. We went down to, where was it? Augusta National. We went to the Augusta National where they play the Masters. That's where Tiger Woods won it once. I mean, this is the granddaddy of them all, the Masters. I mean, the best golf course, golfing thingy, going. And better than anything, better than the U.S. Open. You win the Masters, you're in it for life. I mean, it's unbelievable. You don't even have to requalify. You're in it. You win the Masters, you can play the Masters till the cows come home. And, I mean, it's the best. So we're down there, and we're passing literature out. We passed 29,000 of these out in 3 days. And my friend, John Reimer, called Evantel and designed a particular cover for it with a golf ball and a golfing, with a golfing sticks. What do they call those?
Club.
Oh, clubs, yes. A golfing stick. And so it really was effective. And on you pass these out. And so what we did in passing literature out, we realized that there were people that might not really want the thing. So what we do is we would stand over here and we would pass them out and they would be going into the gate. But we realized that they might not want to do that. So what we did, we took a piece, you know, a thing like this. Okay. We took a thing like this, and so we're passing them over here, and what we did was we took a box like this and put a few in near the gate. We put like 7 or 8 in there. So we're passing in, so the person comes up, doesn't want it, sees that there's a box with them in there, doesn't, you know, throw it in the garbage, they just put it in the box and walk in, you know, and I'm going, yeah, so we would collect that, and we would take them and reuse them, you know, and that's what you have to do sometimes, you know, why is a serpent and harmless as a dove? I didn't come up with that idea, I stole it, and so, that you know, that's what you want to do, plus, when you're talking about literature and what you're giving to people, make sure you read it before you give it. It's a good idea, don't you think? So know what you're giving out. One time we were doing mass distribution of gospel material in the subway, and this was underneath Times Square, 7th Avenue, underneath Times Square there in the subway, and we're talking thousands of people per hour. Got it? I mean, it's a sea of people. And we're passing literature out like crazy. Boom, boom, good news, good news, good news, good news for you. Boom, 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 boom. Creative and all, I mean, really crazy. And I thought to myself, what are we passing out? So I looked at it, and somebody brought a whole ton of How to Have a Quiet Time. And I'm going, you idiot. You know, read what you're passing out. You know, all these people going, I'm having a good quiet time, but I don't know Jesus. You know, it would be nice to have all these gospel literature out. Okay, so start with a good opening sentence. Example, like what would be a good opening line? If you were to die tonight, where would you go? That's a good opening line, but not if you're a scrub nurse for surgery. You know, the person's just about to go under. They got to. Got Guy's ready to go under, put the sodium pentothal, whatever thing in there. You know, I am Joseph Mengele. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then they're about ready to go in and, hi, excuse me. I just want to know, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? You know, they start ripping out the hoses and they don't want to go under. So be careful with that. I think another one is not a good one, but I would use it if the Lord led me. You know, going up to a person and saying, hey, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Sure. How many legs does a cow have? Four. I'd do it too. I mean, how many legs does a cow have? Well, four. Have you ever heard of the four spiritual laws? I don't think that that's probably the best way to doing it. Probably not a good way of doing it. Number three, be friendly, tactful, and personable. If you learn the person's name, use it occasionally. That might be nice. Your name again? Your name again? Your name again? I feel like I do that often. Word association is really interesting. By the way, look them over. Look them over. I was in Paramus, a park in Paramus with all these Word of Life students. You know, we're teaching them evangelism, you know. And I go up to a guy and I didn't do what I'm telling you to do. I didn't look the guy over. And I said to him, I just got it out. I said, excuse me, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And he looked at me and said, don't talk to me about this. He says, can't you see this? And they had magic marker marks right here, which would indicate what? Radiation. He says, I've got cancer. They've given me 6 months to live. I don't want to talk about this. Screaming at me in a mall. Not in a mall, but in a park. And I'm just going, and he just stormed right off. And I was hoping the grass would grow fast just to cover me. I mean, I was embarrassed. I felt horrible about the whole thing. And I just, you know, I just was, oh, man, I didn't know how to recover. I am just really working my head off in my own heart. I know I offended the guy. I mean, all these emotions are flooding in, and this is happening millisecondly. And I'm just going, oh, man, oh, man. And all the students are going like this. And I just, you know, I'm embarrassed. I blew it. All this kind of stuff. So what do? Well, you don't quit. So what I did was I tried to recover. And then I saw him. He's now almost the end of the end of the park. So I start running. And I'm getting close to him about this, to the speaker. I get close and I stop. And now I'm trying to control my breathing because I'm like. So I come up to him and I say, I just want to say to you, sir, that I'm so sorry. And please forgive me. I am rude and insensitive. And if you would forgive me, please. And he goes, okay, yeah. And I said, please. If you would take this piece of literature, and if you would just please read it, I'd appreciate it. He goes, okay. I said, thank you. And that was it. That was almost 30 years ago. So he's in eternity somewhere. I don't know where. Hopefully it's heaven. But it is important, you know. You've got to look. You know, be friendly, tactful, personable. Look them over. Find out as much as you can just by observation. This kind of thing. It's really, really important. Okie doke. If they've got like a wart on the end of their nose, don't stare at it. You know, oh, look at that. Wow, more. My grandmother has 3 hairs grown out of hers. You got 4. Look at that. That is amazing. I mean, you know, that's not tactful. That is not tactful, you know. It really isn't. It might be funny, but it's not tactful. Okay. Deal with the person from the Bible. That's what you want to do. Deal with the person from the Bible. Speak clearly and avoid theological or church language. By the way, number four, it's the Word of God that gives life. I mean, you know, it's not my opinion, and not my apologetic. It is the Word of God. So give them the Word. Deal with them from the Bible. It's fun. They say, well, you know, you've got your interpretation of the Bible. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 and hand it to them. What do you think it means? You know, put the onus on them. What does it mean? You know, okay. I've gone through the Bible with people. Not the whole thing, of course, but I've gone through certain passages and I say, what do you think that means? What do you think this means? And in talking to, you know, even in follow-up, asking them what they think this means. And they go, oh, yeah. And it dawns on them, especially true with Catholics. Especially true with Catholics. Speak clearly and avoid theological or church language. Oh, we're famous for this. We are famous for this. It's not my comfort zone. I've got to explain terms. Don't say stuff like, don't use the language of Zion. Explain biblical terms. Hello there. How are you? So good to see you. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been crucified with the Savior? And the person's going, washed in blood? Crucified with the Savior? Yes, come and be slain with the Lamb. You know, I'm out of here. And then Alma comes in and goes, she's gone. He's gone. You know, that's it. You know, and that is true. I'm gone. That's it, what they're doing. Okay. Also, you have a question. That's right.
What are you saved from?
Yeah. And what is saved?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's right. That's right. We're doing a kids meeting in Chicago. They're like 3 and 4 year olds, man. They're like looking there playing with the grasshopper, picking their nose, you know, and this guy comes up and let's talk about the hypostatic union of Christ. I just thought, wait a second. What are you talking about? Hypostatic union. 18-year-olds at Moody Bible Institute are going, duh. And then we've got these 4 and 5 year olds going, nying. You know? Oh, man. By the way, we mean this. If you can talk to a child, you can talk to anybody. That is true. If you can talk to a child, you can talk to anybody. Never use slang, but rather wholesome, gracious words. Listen, if you're not black, don't act black. Say, what? What's up, baby? When how's it going, man? Say, man, what's up going, man? Hey, slack him, jack him. You know? I mean, come on. Hey. Whoa, something like that. Hey, you know? I mean, that's not you.
What if people think you're black?
Yes, I can see Justin now. Hello there, how are you? Fist pump. They think you're black. They're going to know real fast if you're not. Because in American blacks are different from Jamaican blacks or British, the West Indies blacks. Big time. The American blacks think the West Indies blacks are Oreos. You went black on the outside, white on the inside. And they're British. And in New York City, those two assembly type thing, they won't mesh. The cultures clash big time. So just be yourself, you know? I remember standing there and I'm hearing this guy, say, man, what's up, man? Say, man, what's wrong with him? You know, like this kind of thing, right? And I turn around, it's a white guy. I couldn't believe it. I mean, that guy sounded just like a black guy. I just was amazed. I'm going, yeah, you must have got my DVD or something. It was incredible. And then I'm in UCLA preparing a sketch in the open air, and I'm going like this, and this girl comes up. Now, in Los Angeles, they have this thing called the Valley Girl. Are you familiar? Blonde airhead. right? And then, you know, like the strawberry girl type thing, you know? And they're like this. And so they come up, and this girl comes, and I'm painting, and she goes, wow, that's like totally radical, gnarly. That's really something. I just can't believe it. You know, and in my mind, I'm seeing this blonde girl. Going, oh, that's really something. Flick, 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 flick. Whatever. You know, all this kind of stuff. I turn around. She's Chinese. I turn around and it's a Chinese girl going, oh, that's like totally. I was like totally out of characteristic. You know, totally out of character for sure. So avoid that kind of stuff. I mean, be yourself. But if you're an idiot, be somebody else. Okay. Don't use any type of language that would detract or bring offense to the Savior or his message, the gospel. Number eight, if possible, deal with a member of the same gender. If possible. So that's really good. When, why would we do that? Because they like you, yes. It's like, and I often say, like, when we go in the open air, we're not a dating service. We're not going to find you a date, you know. And I remember one in the old days, in the late 70s and 80s, they had this Farrah Fawcett haircut. And the Farrah Fawcett haircut had wings, you know, Farrah Fawcett. And some of the Moody girls, they had this haircut like that. And it was just really amazing to me. I remember this one girl, and this handsome guy came up to her, and she had the Farrah Fawcett, and she's like this. And, you know, it was difficult to get her away from wanting to witness to this guy. And I'm thinking, well, what's your reason for that, you know? So if possible, deal with the member of the same gender. There's no conflict of interest in this. If they're homosexuals, however, switch it out. You break that rule. It's true. It is true. We've had to do that. We've had to deal with that and get a girl to talk to the gay guy and the same thing with the lesbian type of thing. And it happens all the time. We're talking to them. Try to find a quiet and undisturbable place to talk with children. Do not go separate. Do not get the child alone without somebody else around. Got it? And why is that? Say again?
Propriety,
what do you mean?
All that stuff with the molestation.
Oh, yeah. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Let's not be stupid about this. You know, all they got to do is tell somebody, an adult, he touched me here. It's over. You're going to be getting a lawyer. It might not be true. Do kids lie? They take a doll. The psychologist takes a doll. Did he touch you here? Uh-huh. You're cooked. You're going to trial. And your whole reputation's out the door as a pedophile. And it's even upped since the 80s. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So you've got to be very careful when you talk to children. Approaching children, when you talk to them, when we talk to children about the... yeah, okay, that's good. I like this. When you talk to children, approaching children, look at this. When you approach children, you build rapport with them. Building rapport. Rapport is a relation characterized by harmony, accord, and affinity. Be aggressive, but don't let it show outwardly. When you talk to children, they're not going to come to you. You got to go to them. Twice in my 37 years of ministry, two times, have people come up to me and asked me how to get saved. Just twice. I remember both times. One was at the Salt Company, the Christian coffee house we were doing, and the other one was in Times Square. Times Square, a guy comes up and says, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. He goes, can you tell me how to get saved? No, I don't think you're sincere. No, I did. I told him how to trust Christ. And the other time was at this coffee house we used to run, and we'd say, you know, hey, look at, here's, they came up to me and they said to me, two girls, how do we get saved? So we showed them, and they got saved. Fantastic. But that's only twice. And so you be aggressive in your heart. You want to be, but don't let it show outwardly. And you must keep two things in balance: our authority as an adult and our identification with the young at heart. Communicate with them, and Hawk made this point, communicate with them, not at them. We must remember that children can usually detect if you really don't care about them as an individual. Maintain a casual and friendly attitude while remaining in authority. And that's a delicate balance. Without a doubt, it is a delicate balance. We should smile, speak openly, demonstrate genuine Christian joy, although we're really serious about our task. Check for understanding. Make sure the child or the children have understood the important points and the doctrine of the message, such as the deity of Christ, sin, faith, etc., before moving on. Check for their understanding. How would we do that? Yes? That are not yes, no answers. Ask questions that are not yes, no. See, a lot of times people criticize child evangelism because they say you manipulate the kid. Well, I guess you could, but you don't want to. So how do you prevent that? Ask the child. Boy, these kids are smart. They might not give it in the same language you have, but, you know, listen to what they're saying. And they're really smart. They'll tell you what is sin. Yes. Did you ever see somebody do this? Maybe you've done it yourself. Or you say, hi, how are you? Hey, just want to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he died for you on the cross? You know he rose again physically from the dead? Wow. Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Savior? And then you find out the kid doesn't know a word of English. You know, because what a child does is want to please you. So if you're coming up and you're doing this, so they can't say, hi, how are you? What is sin? If you know they do that to you, you have a language barrier. You have a big language barrier. So you've got to ask, and they'll tell you what sin is. I guarantee you they'll tell you. And in different neighborhoods, different parts of the country, they'll tell you what sin is. In New York City, I asked an 8-year-old one time what sin was. Oh, man, I got an earful. This 8-year-old goes to me, and he's living on like around 23rd Street. So this isn't even Harlem. This isn't even the bad neighborhood. He said, a woman, I'm giving the inflection the way he said it. He was 8 years old. He goes, a woman went into an elevator and a man went in after and fathered her child. What's that? Huh? Rape. This kid knows it. He's 8 years old. He knows it. In the same breath. And in the other building there, a man took a gun and blew his brains out. This kid doesn't have any childhood. You know, I'm thinking cookie jar and don't take out the garbage because, you know, you're lipping off to mom. These kids are not thinking that. They're thinking extortion. They're thinking of robbery. They're thinking of rape. They're thinking of murder. In some of these inner city areas. It's unbelievable. And by the way, who's going to these kids? Who goes to those kids? I'll tell you who goes to those kids. Pimps, prostitutes, drug addicts, drug pushers. That's who's going to those kids. They're all around us. Hagerstown's got them. Baltimore's got them. They got them all over us. And, you know, the thing is, do we care about those kids? You know, do we really care about them? We talk about evangelism, you know. Okay. We want to evangelize without a shadow of a doubt. But who goes to those kids? So we need to check for their understanding. We need to counsel when we one-on-one try to get alone with the individual child. We've got to be careful there. We need to this effect will eliminate constant interruptions and will allow us to become acquainted with the child. But you've got, if I'm getting alone with the child, let's say Tony's the child, I take him over here, but we're in the middle of everything. I mean, everybody in. And so let's just say, for instance, you've got a child alone and you've got some fantastic activity happening in the background. Some great activity happening in the background. Like LeBron James and Wade are out playing these four guys, you know. And so your back's to the game, right? And this kid is seeing it over your shoulder. Good or bad positioning? What should you do? Flip around. Flip the kid, put his back to the game. And you, oh, wow. You know, oh, man, nice move. Oh, yeah, and Jesus loves you, you know. So you've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. Have the child facing you. Make sure that there's no distracting activities behind you and near you that would capture the attention of the child. Be extremely careful about holding or touching a child. This looks very suspicious. And this, I'm talking about like open air, in an open air situation. I want to tell you something. You want to eat some of these kids. They're so honking cute. I mean, they are like, oh, you boo boo. You're going, oh, you kids. And they're just, oh, they're so, and some of them are so beautiful. It's unbelievable. Doing some kids' meetings in a Spanish neighborhood in Chicago, right? And my friends would go every week there and almost do like a Sunday school. And it was just fantastic, just fantastic. And this Hispanic mothers would dress the little girls in their first communion dresses, with the little anklet socks, with the white gloves, and the big dress, and they'd come out like this, and they were like so proud, like little peacocks just going. And then they would sit on the mat, and we'd go through the puzzle, and go through, I'm in, right, out, right, and they got their communion dresses on. And, you know, to these kids, this is like monumental stuff. This is monumental stuff. So be careful. You want to eat them up. You want to love them. You want to do this, but it might cause emotional confusion in their mind. Point them to the Lord Jesus. You've got these children. You know, we're really strangers in a real sense, but tell them that Jesus will never leave them. Tell them that. Give them that. Jesus will never leave them. Okay, so any questions so far? Any questions so far? Be extremely. It's an adverb. Be extremely. Okay. Now, we have talked about the teaching of salvation. We have talked about the teaching of salvation extensively. And so, just here's some blanks for you. Faith and repentance, they're inseparable. Cover the gospel message thoroughly. And we've talked about this, but I'd like you to look at E, at D and E. We talked about who Jesus is, and that's important. Why did he come? How did he save us? The mechanics of this. This is talking about, you know, really doctrinal issues that you should know. Atonement through the blood of Christ. Who is man? Why is he in trouble with God? What can he do? What can man do? Salvation is by works, right? Grace. Okay, just wanted to see if you were okay. All right. Salvation is by grace. And then the Bible is God's inspired, inerrant word. Okay, get them in the word. You might never see some of these kids again. Get them into the word of God. Some basic plans for adults. You've got the Romans Road. And you've got the fact of sin, the consequences of sin, the payment, and our way out. And then you also, may I ask you, a question booklet and some other good gospel material. There's a lot of good stuff. We found this to be the best. It is expensive. It is expensive, and it's gone up. And the Ezekiel Project is seeking to produce its own and to sell them and to keep the cost as low as possible. So we're going to make our own type of thing and then sell it as well at cost, because we're nonprofit. But these have gone up huge. And what are they now, Ashley? Do you remember?
17, 18 cents.
What were they? Well, we paid like 13 cents, right? And then if you get them from CBD, which they have exclusive rights of distribution of these particular pieces of literature, it's like 23 cents a piece. It's a lot of money. You know, that is, that's a lot of money. I buy four of them for a dollar. And so what we're doing in the Ezekiel Project is trying to drive the cost down on this and see if we, well, how we can do this. We're looking for printers, etc. Anyway, so that's what you have. Other plans for children: the gospel hand, baby finger, ring finger, middle finger, index, and thumb. You know, God loves me, I have sinned, Jesus died for me, I have accepted him as my Savior, I am saved. The Wordless Book. Now, I have a friend of mine. The Wordless Book is outstanding. It is outstanding. And I have a friend of mine who made his own. I mean, he is just like that. I mean, you can buy one. I have the big one, and I called that the large print edition. You know, you know, I think it's kind of cutesy in myself. But my friend is going to a Pizza Hut. He's going to have supper, and it's Greg Stogelman. He's going to Pizza Hut. So what does he do? He makes his own, not right before it, but he just finished making his own wordless book. Why don't you just buy one, Greg? I mean, it just, duh. Not Greg. He's got to make his own. And Greg is 60, he'll be 65, you know. And so he makes his own. So he sits down, and he orders his pizza, sits down, he gets the pizza, and the lady, nobody in the place. He's all by himself, all these seats all over the place, right? And so nobody's in the place, and he's sitting there eating his pizza. And the lady that sold him the pizza, she goes, I mean, nobody's there except him and her. And so she comes over and sits down right next to him. And Greg's feeling awkward. He's feeling awkward. He's going, ruh-roh. And so Greg is a really good evangelist. And so he goes to the girl. He says, "Well, how you doing? Good. Okay. Your name?" And he got the name. And "Are you a student? What are you?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm a student. What are you studying?" "I'm studying journalism." "Oh, you are. You want to be a writer?" "Oh, yes. I really want to do that." "Well, that's good. That's good." He said, Greg said, "I just finished my autobiography." And she goes, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, you want to see it?" And he pulls out the wordless book and gives his testimony. And so as he's doing this, I mean, it's so creative. It's just unbelievable to me. And only Greg. I got another story about Greg that's just a killer. Anyway, a guy comes in. She gets up and gets him his pizza. So where does this guy sit? Right next to Greg, you know. There's pizza here. Greg's like going, "I must be like a honking magnet. What is the deal here?" Boom, this guy sits there. The girl comes back and sits there. And so what does Greg do? He shows them the wordless book to both of them. He's just going, "Here it is." And he does it loud enough that this guy can hear and that this girl can hear. And he's going right through. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And Greg's the guy. And this is what's really cool. I love what Greg does. And I've learned a lot from Greg. Greg, he was a student at Tepsi, and he was a missionary to Ireland for 6.5 years. Then he came home, and an elder of his said, "You ought to go to Tepsi." And so he goes, "Okay, I'll go to Tepsi." So he comes at the age of 51 or something. This is 1997. And so he comes to Tepsi, and as a student, he's an experienced guy, you know. And he's walking with another student, Shane. And they're walking, they're coming past the used car lot, and he sees this guy with this hat on with all these lures on it and hooks and such, you know, fishermen, right? So Greg comes walking. He says, I'll see you over at the restaurant. And he goes walking over to the guy. And he says, hey, how you doing? He strikes up. And he says, I see you're a fisherman. The guy talks for like 20 minutes about being a fisherman. He goes, oh, yeah. And he says, and Greg just asked him about his lures. Oh, yeah, that's a good one, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so finally the guy exhausts talking about himself. And he finally asks Greg, he says, what are you doing? Greg says, I'm a fisherman. He says, you are? He goes, yeah. He says, where do you fish? He goes, all over the world. He goes, you do? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, wow, that's fantastic. And Greg then offers this line. He goes like this. He goes, and the guy says, what do you fish for? He goes, I fish for dead fish. Yeah, and the guy goes, huh? He says, yeah, and I catch them, and I give them to somebody who can make them alive. And the guy's going, huh? Transitioned right into the gospel. And I just thought, yeah, I'm taking notes, you know. I mean, that's just really kind of cool the way how God used Greg on that. So, some special considerations in teaching children, salvation to children. You have explained the concepts of salvation. Use appropriate words and ideas when defining and describing the basics of salvation. Example, accepting Jesus into your heart instead of making me a part of God. Instead, make me a part of God's family. And when I've talked to kids and I say, you know, I want you to receive Jesus into your heart, and I'll ask them, duh, they're smart. I say, hey, what do I mean when I say, what do you think I mean when I say, accept Jesus into your heart? And one kid goes, you mean to tell us that you want us to have Jesus into our lives. That's what you mean. I go, exactly. I don't mean the muscle. Cha-boom, cha-boom, boom. And one of the things that I think that is really important for us to understand is a lot of times people think that kids not ready. The children under a certain age can't understand. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. The problem is we can't communicate. And we need to learn to communicate to these children and break down what we mean when we say born again. And that you're exactly right, Jake. Exactly right. Even what the word saved means, even what these different things. And if you can do that effectively, you will be very, very good. So you need to do that. You need to break it down. Talk to children. They'll help you with the lingo. They really will. They'll help you with it, you know, and talk to them and tell them and ask questions that do not precipitate. Now, you might want at the end of your conversation with a child finally say, would you like to ask Jesus to be your personal Savior? And the child goes, yes. Yes. But this is not, you know, you've had a conversation. They're understanding the concepts. And many times, by the way, children are looking at, when children... Children think literally. Where are they? Oh, okay, right over here. Cool. They asked kids one time, what is it when we say that God hears all things, draw a picture of that. So a kid goes like this. Choop, choop. And then like that. Big ears. God hears everything. Draw a picture of Daddy's tied up at the office. You know, it's got the ropes around him, you know, around the legs. Okay, Daddy's tied up at the office. They asked him to draw a picture of Adam and Eve being driven out of the garden. And you got the angel here with the big wings, and you got lowly, their heads hanging low. You know, and they're sad, driving out with a little beep, 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 you know, that type of thing. There's the angel driving them out of the garden. So they think, kids think literally. Children think literally. So we've got to understand that. It's rare for a boy, this is developmental stuff. It's rare for a boy to think conceptually early on. Girls beat the guys in that hands down. Girls mature a lot faster mentally and socially than guys do. Then they level off, You know, that's why, you know, you see a girl and they think they're, you know, they're more sophisticated. And the guy's like, oh, da, 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 you know. And girls are just, they just, but they'll come like this. They'll start to level off. And they'll start to, you know, that kind of thing. So you just got to have that in mind when you talk to children. And that's really important for us. Examples of critical questions. That's where we are, right? Are we doing number two? Did we do number two, special considerations? Okay, review by asking key questions to affirm the understanding of the basics of the gospel. Be sure that you ask questions that demand more than a yes or no answer. We've talked about that. Do not in any way lead a child into a non-thinking, forced, or false decision. Get them to respond to your questions with an explanation, you know, that they can explain themselves. Why do you think, critical key questions, what do you understand about the Lord Jesus Christ? Tell me, and this is my favorite, this is adults or kids? Adults or kids, I will ask this question, and this is a great question. You want to find out right away where a person is, adult or a child, doesn't matter. I want to find out where they are. I come up to them and I say, hey, how you doing? You know, we're talking, we're bridging, right? I said, can I ask you a personal question? I said, let's just play a scenario here. I got 3 minutes to live. I got 3 minutes to live. I'm dying. And I come to you and I ask you how to get to heaven. What would you say to me? And I've had people go to me and they go, well, you need to be a really good guy and live a good... Oh, yeah, you got 3 minutes. And I say, 2 minutes and 45 seconds. You know, now I'm finding out where they are. And I find out how I can minister to them and show them how they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? This is what I'm going. Or they might say to me, and I've had this, yes.
Would you use that as like an opening question?
Not an opening. I want to, you know, how you doing? How's it going? You know, Bridge, and then ask that, you know, say that. I've asked it pretty quick, though, into the conversation, you know. I've asked that pretty quickly into the conversation. I mean, I'm not dragging this out. I mean, I've got a requirement of at least 2.5 hour conversation before I ask that. I don't have that. So, and that's a really good, and I've had people say to me, well, you really should go to church. No. And I go, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I'll do that, put a little pressure on them. And then you find out. I've had guys tell me how to get saved right there on the spot. They were Christians. It's great. Praise God for that. Okay. Where will you go when you die? I asked this kid one time in Brooklyn. I said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? He goes to funeral home. The kid one time asked, yes, go ahead. Europe.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's really goofy. That's really good. Europe. I asked a kid one time after he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. This was great. This was so funny. I said, where is Jesus right now? So what am I thinking? I'm thinking, oh, he's in my life. He's in my heart and all this. And this kid goes, he's at the right hand of the Father. I'm going, this kid's, I said, what theology book are you reading, you know? You know, I mean, it's right hand of the Father. He's reading this. But I just thought that was pretty cool. That was pretty good. So we're going to stop here at this juncture in leading somebody to Christ. And Craig, I know that you wanted to
say something today,
right. And we're going to beat him up later. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah. Okay, so let's take a break. We're at the point of leading somebody to a decision, and we've got leading a child, leading an adult to Christ, and then post follow up, and we're fini. So maybe we could do that tomorrow, eh?
That's right.
Okay, so let's close in prayer. Justin, would you do that for us?
Father in heaven, we think of the Lord Jesus and how he would be the reason why there would be a gospel and how how he would willingly come to give of himself and to be skewered to a tree and to be endure shame and agony at the hands of men, to be separated from his God, that he might redeem us. We're thankful for the power of the gospel, and we would just consider ways in which we can apply it in terms of sharing it with others that we know, even sharing it with children. Father, we pray that the things, the questions, which...